creating kingdom culture? How do we create it? How do we develop? How do we have kingdom culture ingrained within us? Now, how many of you know we are living in a world whose culture does not reflect God or the principles of His Word, right? We understand that, right? The culture in America right now is one of chaos, misery, and dysfunction. Now, if we do not build a kingdom culture in our lives and in our families, we will become subjects of this world. But remember last week's message, you have a kingdom calling. And you have been called out, the great transfer, transferred out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of the Son of God. But if we live outside of the benefits of the kingdom, it will be very easy to anchor ourselves in a world that does not know God. And I don't want to do that. I don't want to be anchored to a world that does not know God. So as believers, we must remain anchored in Christ and not in the shifting sands of this world's culture. And it is shifting sand. But you and I can create a kingdom culture in our lives, our homes, our families, and yes, even in the church. Now, if we take commitment, it will take a commitment to live out a kingdom culture that is counterculture to this present world. So let's understand, when you make a commitment to Jesus, you are not going in the current of the world. You're going against it. You're going counterculture. Now, here's a verse that I love to visit periodically. It's Romans 12:2. I want to give it to you in the Message Bible. He says, don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Boy, that's easy to do. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize what He wants from you and quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity. The culture wants to drag you and I down. I think we can see it. But this is what he says next. But God is going to bring the best out of you. He will develop well-formed maturity in you. Then I love this one in Hebrews 6:19. He says, now we have this hope, that's the hope of the gospel, has a sure and steadfast anchor of the soul. It cannot slip and it cannot break down under whoever steps out upon it. It is a hope that reaches farther and enters into the very certainty of the presence within the veil, the presence of God. So this anchor of the gospel keeps me in right standing with God. That's what it means when it says that he develops maturity in you and I, and that this hope that we have, it reaches into the very presence of God within the veil. That's an Old Testament illustration of that mankind was separated from the presence of God. But Jesus broke the curtain. Because when he was crucified, what happened? The veil in the temple was torn in two. Now, what all of this means is because we have the hope of the gospel, the hope of the gospel is that we have been reconciled to God, is that we are no longer of this world. We now belong to Jesus. And that's good news, my friend. So let's talk about creating kingdom culture. We can't conform to this world, and we have an anchor for our soul. So let's talk about creating a kingdom culture. First of all, what is culture? Well, culture comes from this Greek word, which simply means to till or to cultivate. Or from this Latin word, which means to till or to cultivate. Now, let's apply that in a spiritual sense. That's what the word culture means, to till or to cultivate. Now, we might think of breaking ground, right? Some of you may have gardens. I know a couple of the men, they're growing their own vegetables. Well, y'all remember to bring me a tithe off of the harvest. Hallelujah. Amen. I love cucumbers and eggplants and come on, somebody. Amen. So remember the pastor on his birthday. Hallelujah. But when we think of the meaning of this word to till or to cultivate, that's what we might think of. Breaking the ground. Planting a seed. So let's apply that in a spiritual realm. Because what culture means, what it refers to, is the cultivation of the mind, the heart, and the emotions. And my friends, isn't that what we see happening today? Is that in this present culture, in this present society, there is a cultivation of the mind, the hearts, and the emotion. And this is why Romans 12:2 says, do not become adjusted to this culture. Are you with me? Well, hang on for a few minutes because we're going to go a little deeper. Culture is defined as the total pattern of human behavior, and it is demonstrated in thought, speech, and action. So in society, culture is a pattern of behavior that is accepted as normal, to which individuals are expected to conform. But the Bible says, don't conform to it. So we got to stick with God. We got to stick with his word. But society at large, you know, culture, it is a pattern of behavior that is accepted as normal. Look at the things that are being pushed as being normal today. I look at some of these things and I'm like, say what? You really want me to think this is normal? Are y'all with me? See, this, we're talking about culture. What is culture? Now, the problem with the present culture is that it is, are y'all ready for this? It's wicked and perverse. Do you know why it's wicked and perverse? Because the heart of humanity is wicked and perverse. Jesus nailed it right here in Matthew 15. He says, but whatever comes out of the mouth comes from the heart. And this is what makes a man unclean and defiles him. For out of the heart come evil thoughts, reasonings and disputings and designs such as murder, adultery, sexual vice, theft, false witnessing, slander, and irreverent speech. How many of you know when we get saved, our mouths get saved? Come on, somebody. Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So the word of God is clear. The culture of the world will progress in evil until the whole world worships the man of sin known as the beast or the Antichrist. So what we are seeing today is a spiritual force. Now I need you to get this. What we are seeing today is a spiritual force that is shaping the minds and hearts of the present culture. But God says don't conform to it. Don't get adjusted to it. Don't become so well adjusted to it that you fit in to it. Because remember last week's message, if you didn't get it, if you missed it, you can go on the website and listen to it. We have been transferred out of the kingdom of darkness, this world's system, and we are in the kingdom of the Son of God. Let's move on. Let's discern the present culture. So what is culture? Well, we just defined that. The total pattern of human behavior demonstrated in thought, speech, action. Pattern of behavior that is accepted as normal and to which individuals are expected to conform. I'm not going to conform. I will be a voice of resistance because I'm going to stick with the Word of God. Amen. As believers, we have to stick with the Word of God because God is true and every man is a liar. Paul said that in the book of Romans. But let's discern the present culture. God has given us, and this, we got to understand this too. God has given us the ministry of the Holy Spirit to guide us and to protect us from the deception that the world is under. As believers, we are kingdom people, set apart unto Jesus, who is the absolute truth. He's the absolute truth. So in our present culture, there are so many forces at work shaping the minds of the population. I just passed on the highway or on the street and saw a man in his car, and he had a mask on. Now, I truly don't understand that. It's just him. There's nobody there. I guess there's air particles, right? But why do I reference that? Because there's more going on than meets the eye. And I want you to understand that. There's more happening than what people realize is happening. And people are being instructed and programmed. And listen, I want you to follow the leadership of the Holy Spirit. We are set apart unto Christ. He's the absolute truth. But in our present culture, there are many forces at work shaping the minds of the population. There's more to it than meets the eye. There's more to it than telling somebody they still need to wear a mask or do this or have this or et cetera, et cetera. There's more to it because there is a shaping of the minds. But the Holy Spirit enables us to stay on the path of truth because he is the Spirit of truth who is living inside of believers. Jesus said this in John 16. He said, but when he, the Spirit of truth, the truth-giving Spirit comes, he will guide you into all the truth, the full truth. He will not speak his own message of his own authority, but he will tell whatever he hears from the Father. He will give the message that has been given to him. He will announce and declare to you the things that are to come. Things, look at this, that will happen in the future. He will honor and glorify me. This is what Jesus said. Because he will take of, receive from, draw upon what is mine, and will declare it, disclose it, and transmit it to you. Everything that the Father has is mine. This is what I meant when I said he, the Spirit, will take the things that are mine and will reveal, declare, disclose, transmit it to you. These are incredible verses. These verses tell us that the Holy Spirit will enable us to discern what's really going on. And how many of you know, man, we need that discernment. So this is why it is so important that we have the Word of God within us. The Holy Spirit is working according to the Word of God. He's always working according to the Word. So that's why I have to have the Word. Even the psalmist said, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you. Do you have his word hidden in your heart? It is the Word that is going to keep you on the right path. Because the Word and the Spirit is an awesome combination. And we'll be able to discern the present culture. Now, notice how the Apostle Paul describes this weapon of the Word of God as it relates to the ministry of the Holy Spirit. It's in Ephesians 6:17. He says, take the helmet of salvation and the sword that the Spirit wields, which is the Word of God. Now, let me tell you something about that right there. What does that mean when he says he will wield the Word? The Spirit of God will wield the Word. In other words, it is a weapon in our arsenal as believers. And this is what it means. It means that we must absolutely, positively have our vocabulary filled with the Word of God. And if you have no Word in you, you can't pray effectively. If you have no Word in you, you won't know deception when it comes. If you don't have the Word in you, are you still with me? You won't be able to discern right from wrong. You will fall under the deception of this present culture. But when you get the Word in you, you are increasing your vocabulary for the Holy Spirit to flow in you, through you, and out of you. So I got to have the vocabulary of the Word of God inside of me. Your spirit is like a reservoir. And if you get the Word of God in your reservoir, it is going to flow out of you. See, the problem with a lot of people is their reservoir is very, very small. But when you increase that reservoir with the Word of God, it becomes the sword of the Spirit. Listen, as we continue to create a kingdom culture because of the Word within us, we will meet resistance in this world because the world wants to mold minds to be anti-God and anti-faith. But when I have the Word in me, I am going to be able to win the war. I'm going to be able to have victory every time. This is why Jesus won in the temptation in the wilderness. The Word of God was in him. Now, the devil came with the Word too. But he twisted it. Right? He twisted it. He's a master at twisting it. But Jesus knew the Word, and the Word flowed out of him. Even when he went into the synagogue to teach, the Bible says that all of the religious leaders were amazed. All the people were perplexed. They said, this man teaches with authority. He's the son of the carpenter. Where did he get this kind of knowledge? Where did he get this kind of education? They didn't understand him. But the Word was flowing out of him because Jesus is the living Word. Hallelujah. He is the Word. The Word was right in front of them. But this present culture is going to always be resistant to the Word. Remember, it's molding minds to be anti-God, anti-faith. This present culture is rooted in false beliefs that are preparing people for a new kind of religion. Did y'all catch that one? A new kind of religion. Let me illustrate it a little bit. Let me talk about some of these false beliefs. Now, this one probably doesn't need a lot of explanation. Atheism. Atheism is simply the absence of belief in the existence of God or the existence of a higher power of any kind. There has never been a stronger atheistic movement in America than there is today. Never. Atheism is all around us. People that deny God, don't believe in God, don't believe in any higher power at all. Then we have agnosticism. This is the view that the existence of God or of the divine or the supernatural is unknowable. Larry King, the great TV interviewer, had Larry King show for all of those years. He just passed away a couple of years ago. I hope that he made Jesus Lord of his life before he did. But Larry King was a declared agnostic. So he held this view that the existence of God, of the divine, it's unknowable. But when I think of all of the ministers that he interviewed over the years, all of the opportunities that he had, because the gospel was shared with him over and over and over and over again. But this is a prominent view in society today, agnosticism. Then we have humanism. Humanism is the belief in the potential value and goodness of human beings to solve human problems rather than by a divine being. Well, how's that working out? Right? Now, how can that even think about this definition of humanism? The belief in the potential value and goodness. But Jesus said there's evil in the heart. So if there's evil in the heart, how is the potential value and goodness of human beings going to solve human problems? Can't do it. It's impossible. But yet we have humanism all through society. The next one is New Age. New Age is rooted in Eastern mysticism. New Age advocates practice channeling to attain a higher consciousness. Maybe you've seen them. Tapping into the universe. That's what they believe. It's rooted in Eastern mysticism. They practice channeling to attain a higher consciousness. They believe in yoga, reincarnation, crystal power, and Hindu spiritual practices, and they use them, they engage them to unify mind, body, soul, and spirit. It's all through American society. Now, as a kingdom person, we have to live within the culture, yet not become like the culture. So we must guard our minds and hearts in order to not be shaped by the spirit of the day that we are living in. So many are now living in peace with this society that is changing them rather than them changing it. Can I get an amen? Again, what did we read in Romans 2? Don't become so well adjusted to this culture that you're part of it before you even realize it. Notice what Jesus prayed in John 17. This is a prayer for believers. And he says, I do not pray. He's praying for his followers, his disciples, his believers, and even those in succeeding generations. He said, I do not pray that you would take them out of the world, but that you would keep them from the evil one. Notice what he says next. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them by your truth. Here comes the word again. Your word is truth. Listen, there are far too many people that don't have the sanctifying work of the word of God in them. We got to change that. Then Jesus said, as you sent me into the world, I have sent them. I've sent them. You sent me, I send them. Sanctify them through your word, or by your truth, and your word is truth. Now, this is a prayer that we all need today, as we see so many people of faith are becoming acculturated into the present culture. Well, there's another term. What does that one mean? Acculturated. It is the process of intercultural borrowing between diverse peoples, resulting in a new and blended pattern. acculturated. The four things that were just mentioned, all of those things are at work. See, what this means is that the Christian faith is being weakened by the culture that we live in. Every person within a specific culture has a worldview through which he or she sees the world. So there again, it brings us back to, I need the word. I gotta have the word because I have to see things through the lens of the word of God. So if we don't have the word of God as our foundation for truth, then guess what happens? Our beliefs and our values will be shaped by the culture that has rejected God. Are you still with me? Acculturated. Now, here's another thing that's happening. And this is another influence of culture, another danger of culture. Many today are deconstructing their faith. Anybody heard of that? Deconstructing their faith. What does that mean? It means that they are reexamining their entire belief system. And we're talking about people of faith. They now are moving from being an evangelical to an exegelical. That's what's happening in our society. I could give you some examples right now, people that I know personally who have deconstructed their faith. Why? I'm going to tell you why. One word, deception. We don't deconstruct our faith. We solidify our faith. So Hebrews 3 says this, be careful then, brothers and sisters. Make sure that your own hearts are not evil and unbelieving, turning away from the living God. But you must warn each other every day while it is still today. In other words, while there's still time. So that none of you will be deceived by sin and hardened against God. If we are faithful to the end, trusting God just as firmly as when we first believed, we will share in all that that belongs to God. So I have to always be mindful of what's going on in the culture, and I cannot let it affect me. I am a kingdom believer. I am living by a kingdom culture. In conclusion, let me give you three things real quickly, and then we're going to have communion. Three things real quickly to help you create kingdom culture in your life. I've already been preaching on this one. Number one, make a commitment to the Word of God so that you can grow and develop a deeper relationship with God. 1 Peter 2, he says, so be done with every trace of wickedness, depravity, malignity, all deceit and insincerity, pretense or hypocrisy, grudges, envy, jealousy, slander, and evil speaking of every kind. So get rid of all of that, because that's not the Christ life. Then he says, like newborn babies, you should crave, thirst for, earnestly desire the pure, unadulterated spiritual milk, that by it you may be nurtured and grow unto completed salvation, since you have already tasted the goodness and the kindness of God. Hallelujah. I love that song that our worship team does. Your goodness is running after me. Hallelujah. And he is running after us. We have tasted it. Someone who is growing is increasing in the things of God. See, this is how we create kingdom culture in our personal lives. When someone is growing, a transformation is taking place in their daily behavior. They develop a kingdom mindset, and because they are developing a kingdom mindset, creating a kingdom culture, that gives them a spiritual grid through which they now see the world. And that's very, very vital, because we can't see it through the culture because it's deceived. See, this growth dynamic that creates kingdom culture is going to be opposed to the prevailing social norm. So if I am going to make a commitment to the Word of God, and I am going to grow in the Word of God, I'm going to deepen my relationship with God, then I will not become acculturated, because I am creating kingdom culture. Do you realize how important the Bible is to you and I? How important it is that we continue to hold to the Word of God, because it's going to lead you and guide you in these troublous times that we are living in. Here's the second thing, creating kingdom culture. Never lose sight of the mission. As men and women of the kingdom, we are sent out to exert influence, kingdom influence. The Great Commission is kingdom mission. So as kingdom people, we have been commissioned with the mission of the kingdom. So we are in the kingdom under the jurisdiction of the King. Hallelujah. And guess what? He's King of Kings and he's Lord of Lords. And he's coming back to receive us unto himself, that where he is, there we will be also. Hallelujah. Never lose sight of the mission. Jesus said this, or Mark chapter 6 says this. It says that Jesus called to him the 12 and he sent them out as his ambassadors, two by two. And he gave them authority and power over the unclean spirits. How many of you know there's a lot of unclean spirits? They're all around us. Unclean spirits. Mark 6:12. So they went out and they preached that men should repent, that they should change their minds for the better, and heartily amend their ways with abhorrence of the past sins. That's what repentance does. Repentance simply means to change one's mind. Now remember, the Word of God says whatever is in our mind will determine the direction we go. As we think, so are we. Whatever we think, that's what we live out. So if my mind has been changed through repentance, then I am going a totally different direction. I'm going with God. So now I have a mission. God has given every one of us a mission, and it is a kingdom mission. And he has sent us out, just like he did right here. So he doesn't send us out without help. He sends us out empowered. He sends us out with the power of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Every Sunday morning, before I come here to bring the gospel, I go to God in prayer. And I always acknowledge my utter dependency upon God to effectively minister the gospel. Because without the Holy Spirit, my words are nothing. My message is nothing. It has no influence, no power, no influence. But when the Spirit of God is in it and he is bringing it forth, I'm simply the channel. God is the one who really does it. Amen. It's the Holy Spirit who does it. See, because we all have a mission. We are all living as ambassadors and we are sent with a mission. That's why we got to have influence. We can't adjust to the culture and let it change us or cause us to become acculturated or cause us to deconstruct our faith. We need to solidify our faith. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. Hallelujah. Don't ever stop hearing the Word of God. Never lose sight of the mission. Here's the third and last thing. Develop a kingdom attitude. Attitude is everything. Everything. So I must have a kingdom attitude. Develop a kingdom attitude and you will have a kingdom culture in your life. Because kingdom culture transforms us in the area of our attitude. You know the problem with the human heart is that when we don't get our way, we cop an attitude. Right? That's why I have learned the number one key to longevity and success and blessing in marriage. Y'all ready for it, men? Everything my wife says. Yes, dear. Your wish is my command. And I am telling you, every time I do that, everything just goes great. But when I disagree, something happens in the atmosphere. Are y'all with me? See, attitude is everything. So the word says, a kingdom attitude does not live by the old lifestyle. The word says that the person that we used to be when we were unbelievers, we were dominated through deceitful desires. But a person with kingdom culture is a new person who is becoming more and more like God. So if we will commit to the Word of God so we can grow, if we will commit to the mission and never lose sight of the mission, how many of you know we still need to be winning people to Jesus? We got to be telling our family members they got to get in the ark before the judgment comes. And the ark is Jesus. People that we work with, we got to live it before them. Now, you know, if we go walking into work on Monday morning and we're spitting and cursing because the saints lost, somebody's going to win or lose today, or tie. Maybe today's game will be a tie. The entire season ends in ties. Boy, how would they figure that one out? Let me stay focused because I want you to get this. See, because, man, we're talking about having influence. And every one of us, we have a circle. All of us have a circle. We have the circle of our family. We have the circle of our workplace. We have the circle of people that we know. All of us have a circle. God wants you and I to influence that circle. To influence it. Tell people about Jesus, to live it before them. If I'm cursing people out, it's going to be hard to witness to people about Jesus. I've been tempted to curse a couple people out. I never have. Becky has. But I never have. All right, now y'all know that is a joke, right? Just for clarification. But if we will commit to these three things, commit to the word so you can grow, never lose sight of the mission, and develop a kingdom attitude, I'm telling you, we're going to see God move. We're going to see God move. And we're going to see this church continuing to explode. Because I'm telling you, there's people all around us that are hurting, empty. They need the life-giving flow of the Holy Spirit. They need what you and I at one time did not have. We were all there. Right? We were all there. But now we know God. As believers, we are in the kingdom. But we're surrounded by people who are not. And we got to live it before them. And that's why Jesus said, "Let your light so shine so they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven."